Welcome to Create Photography. This is Daniel. In today's episode, I will have a conversation with Jaloy Concepcion. Jaloy is a photographer, artist, and documentarian born in the Philippines and currently residing in the United States. In his photography, he experiments with portraiture, drawing, street art, and life as a migrant Filipino in the US. We will talk about his recent book and project, Things You Wanted to Say But Never Did, as well as other topics. Jaloy, welcome to Create Photography. I look very much forward to speaking with you today.
Thank you, Daniel. It's my pleasure. Thanks for considering me.
So I want to kind of start with the beginning, so with your upbringing. Can you tell me and our listeners a little bit more where you are from, where you grew up?
Yeah, I was born and raised in the Philippines, in the capital, Manila, in a small town called Pandacan. So, you know, we have like a typical family, three kids and my parents. And then my dad was a mechanic and my mom was an ordinary, you know, office employee. And yeah, it's just like a really ordinary, like, family, you know, like children, we go outside, we play outside, and, you know, nothing like really unusual about my childhood.
You are from Manila, but really more from the out, kind of the suburbs, would you say, or is it even further away from the capital, or is it,
no,
is it within the capital?
Actually, it's like in the belly button of like the capital. It's like the in the inner part, you know. No, like it's okay. A really rough town. You know, we were in our early childhood, we were already like introduced to, you know, like how urban living is. And yeah, I think it influenced a lot, like my work.
Yeah, so you grew up kind of in the center, or you said the belly button of Manila. Obviously, it's a very big city. And you said you had two siblings. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, I'm the youngest, and I have like two sisters. So you know.
So, yeah, so tell me about, so obviously now you live in the U.S. I think you live in San Francisco in the Bay Area. Is that correct?
Yeah. We live in the Bay Area, in the East Bay.
East Bay, okay. And so how did this come about? How did you decide to move from the Philippines to the U.S.? And how old were you when you did that?
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, growing up, I don't really have like a dream, you know, of living abroad. But I met my wife in the Philippines. They've been living here for almost like 20 years. Then they visited the Philippines last, I think, year 2014. Then we met. We've known each other like since childhood, but, you know, we saw each other that time. And then, yeah, we just got along together and then, you know, we got married 2017. Then she gave birth last part of 2017. I think that, yeah, last part of 2017. And I arrived in the U.S. Exactly one day after she gave birth. So, you know, I was about to surprise her. Yeah, she gave birth early, so yeah, I'm the one who got surprised, and yeah, that's how I got here, and yeah, we really thought about it, you know, where we gonna settle, and then, you know, and if you're gonna choose like between the Philippines and the U.S., you know, and of course we decided, okay, if we're gonna raise a kid, I think it's the best decision if we do it in the U.S. So yeah, I traveled here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so going back to the Philippines for a moment, so you have a, I believe you have a fine arts degree, and you've been in photography for a while. Can mm-hmm. can you tell me a little bit into how you got into photography?
Yeah, you know, I always loved drawing, and mm-hmm. you know, that's my original plan, to be an illustrator for like Cartoon Network, you know. And then, you know, when I was like a teenager, it changed to now I want to be like the main tattoo artist of you know, our small town. So yeah, I decided, okay, maybe I should like, you know, study art or painting, illustration. So I took up fine arts in the University of Santo Tomas in the Philippines, in Manila. Then I met like friends who does graffiti, you know. So I was like, okay, I think this is my next dream. I want to be a well-known, you know, muralist or a graffiti artist. So yeah, when we're doing like these murals, we tend to like, you know, travel across like Manila looking for walls, and then we're gonna paint on them. We painted in a lot of like walls in Manila, you know. And while traveling, we also meet these you know, different people along the way with us, you know, watching how we paint. And I got to talk to them, you know, like to build the rapport, you know, because you always need to be safe with the people around you in Manila. So yeah, meeting all these people, like, you know, like switched my focus, you know, like they became my main focus. Like, okay, I want to paint there so I can like meet more people and, you know, talk to other people. And then I was like, you know, hearing their stories, I'm kind of, okay, now how can I like share their stories, you know? And it's hard to do that with painting. So I looked for another medium that will like more efficient to like storytelling. So that's where I was introduced to photography. And we had a photography class. You need to buy a camera, and you know, it was really hard for us for our family to get a camera, because, you know, it's expensive. But yeah, we managed to get one. I can still clearly remember we paid for it for 3 years, you know, installment. And you know, my mom told me like you should take care of your camera, you know. And yeah, at that time I was thinking, you know, I should really do something about this, you know, because the family paid for it for 3 years, you know. So that's where I decided, okay, I think I want to be a photographer. Then that's it.
Mm-hmm. And so what kind of things, you mentioned a little bit what you were drawing and so forth, but what kind of things were you photographing, or what did you start with?
So when I was starting, I was really fascinated with people, until, you know, taking pictures of their life, day-to-day life, doing like long-form documentaries. It's always about people. Like, you know, I can't imagine like producing a work without a portrait, like a human being in them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was really my, my work revolved around like humanity.
Yep. And so going back to when you moved to the US, I think I read... Mm-hmm. either in your book or somewhere that you almost quit photography. can you tell me a little bit about that time?
Sorry. So when I moved here, you know, I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna move to the US. No problems at all. It will be smooth. My transition will be like easy. I'm just gonna look for work as a photographer here. But, you know, the universe had another plan for me. My papers got delayed. And my wife told me, okay, I think you can't look for any work until we get your papers. So, you know, I'm kind of, okay, that's true, you know. I met an immigrant here, and then he told me, like, your first 3 years will be the worst. You know, so it's true. It was true, you know. My first 3 years here, like, I can't work. I can't fly back home to visit family. You know, I missed funerals, weddings, you know, birthdays, special occasions. Like, and then it just all, you know, accumulated in me. And I'm like, I have like all these thoughts inside my head. And then finally, 2020, I got my work permit. So I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to, like, you know, work as a photographer. And then the pandemic happened. And I'm like, you know, you can't work. You can't start your career as a photographer in a pandemic, you know. Like, we're all locked down. Like, we're all isolated. So, yeah, I told my wife, okay, I can sell my gears, and then maybe I can generate around, you know, $5,000 to $6,000, so we can just like start, so I can, before I can like look for work, you know, ordinary job. Just I was thinking of like just, you know, dishwashing, cooking, anything. Really. So I told her about it, and then that's how the project started. I saw this while I was, you know, thinking about my whole career. I was like running through my archives, and then I saw this folder. It's titled Miscellaneous. You know, that's where I keep like unusable photos for me, like film, you know, blurred photos, you know, photos with no meaning on it. You know, because I always keep those, because so, I thought, you know, at some point you're gonna need them for a project, you know. So I saw all these photos, and then I'm like, okay, you know what? I think I need to make one last project, you know, until my hiatus in photography. So then I remembered that, you know, because I was going through a lot at that time. I remembered that I posted a question on my Instagram story, like last November 2019. Yeah, I asked the question, what are the things you wanted to say but never did, you know? Because I'm just looking for, like, company, you know? Because I have all these thoughts. I thought, like, you know, if I have them, people should have them too, you know? So, you know, like, the question is, like, also a cry for a company, you know? And then, yeah, I remembered that question. I looked back on the replies. I think I got, at that time, I got 30. Because, you know, it was just like all my friends, you know, like, oh, these are the things I wanted to say. And seeing them, you know, it's just like a flashback, you know, doing like graffiti writing on walls. I'm kind of, okay, why shouldn't I, like, you know, vandalize the words on the photos? So yeah, that's where the project started.
Yeah, and so for our listeners, this is a book that became a book project called Things You Wanted to Say But Never Did. And I think the book is now available for pre-order, correct? On Amazon and other places?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I made a book from it. It's more of like a guided journal. It's like a diary. You can write on it. You know, with the photos, there are a lot of like blank pages where you can write. So it's like the project, but like more in a book form. So, you know, yeah, it's available in Amazon. I think there's a lot of like bookstores who are carrying it. So yeah, you can easily find it.
Yeah, that's great. And, yeah, and we'll link to that as well in the show notes, yeah. And of course to your website and everything. So we'll have all that. Maybe tell me a little bit. So I received the book, so thanks for that. And I actually reviewed it in detail. So could you tell me a little bit about, I noticed you have a very big Instagram following. So you have, I think you have like 750,000 people, so which is huge. So I assume you got, you know, initially you got, you know, certain, you said like 30 responses. You obviously got more responses over time. But I'm kind of curious, tell me a little bit maybe about your conversations with the people you had, or the things that they shared with you. You know, so they shared something via Instagram, I understand, right? And then how did you then take this and put it into the photograph, or, you know, and for our listeners, maybe to, they can see that maybe when they look at the book cover or kind of the technique that you employed. But I'm just curious if you can tell me maybe a little bit about, you know, that the process, how this all developed. Yeah.
Yeah, so when I started it, the question was in my stories, you know, so people can reply, but, you know, at that time only like 30 to 40 people replied, because, you know, it's not anonymous. So, you know, I tried to I found a way how to make it anonymous through like Google Forms. So when I used it, that's when the notes started to like pour in. Then the next week I got like 100 a week. You know, I can clearly like remember seeing it, and then before going to bed, I told my wife, like, you know, I think I started something beautiful or magical here. So yeah, and then you know, as of now, I have like 100,000 letters. So the thing is, one of my rules is that I won't reply to any letter. You know, I'm just there to listen, to like read the notes. Mm-hmm. That's my oath. That's my, you know, promise to the project, that I'm gonna read each letter, you know, because people, most of them, they don't really care about you know, their words being published somewhere. Like they just want someone to like listen, or you know, to be on the other side of the screen. And when I started, you know, I used my photos, so I go through the list of the letters, I read all of them. You know, in Instagram you can only post 10, so I will try to like pick the best ones, you know, that may tackle like a variety of issues, you know. So that's how it worked. Then I'm gonna write it using an iPad. I'm gonna write it through my photos. On the first part of the project, I'm using my photos, and then I ran out of photos, you know. And then I received this letter that's kind of like, "Hey, Jelloy, like I was about to end my life, you know." And then I just stumbled upon, you know, your project, and then it made me decide to like postpone it, you know. So I'm kind of at that when I read that letter, you know, I'm kind of like, I told myself, okay, now the project is beyond me, you know. It's now like larger than me. It's owned by strangers now. So, you know, I started to like ask people for photos, you know. And then now I get my photos through anywhere, you know. Some people will send me like family, like abandoned photos. And then I also go to like thrift shops and get like, you know, abandoned photos. I buy abandoned photos. Yeah, and then people just send me like a box of slides. You know, my mother-in-law, like she works in a waste management. And then, you know, sometimes I get some, not a lot, but not always, but sometimes, oh, we have like a bunch of like, you know, pictures ready to, you know, dispose. And I'm like, oh, some of them I use. And then, but most of them I are from like thrift shops. And then, you know, when the people follow the work, send photos, you know, then. So I have a lot of like pictures right now. You know, I just try to like organize everything. But yeah, that's how it works. I'll pick 10, and then I'll try to like, you know, tackle a lot of like issues, and then yeah.
When you did the book, which is now complete, obviously. Does the book contain your images, or does it also contain images from your from people who wrote in to you?
Yeah, when I decided to make the book, you know, I'm like, okay, why do I think I need to like go back to the you know, to the roots, and you know, use my own images. So think half of the time when I was doing the book, half of it was just for taking pictures, you know. So I really made time to like take pictures for the book. So yeah. So now the book, all of it are like photos that I took, or like family photo archives from our archives, you know. Yeah, most of them are like, just all of them are personal like archive.
Tell me a little bit about the technique, maybe more that you. So it looks like we have these silhouettes, or you know, we have the photographs, but then the person is usually in a silhouette, if you will, right? So it's like cut out almost. How did you actually do that? Is that a drawing technique, or was that digital, or how did you?
Yeah, technically it's made digitally through iPad. You know, there's an app called Procreate. I do all the because like before that, you know, I usually just print everything and then make it like manually, but you know. But right now there's a lot of like letters. I need to do it like faster, you know, because I'm a one man team. So yeah, I decided, okay, do it digitally. It's easier. It's easier to compile and organize and, you know, it can't be burnt if there's like a fire or, you know, it's safer. And yeah, but the idea of like cutting out the subjects is more on the idea of anonymity, you know. I think when you take out the individual or the human image on it, it becomes more like inclusive, you know. It can be you, it can be me, or it can be no one else, it can be none of us, it can be all of us, you know. It can be like, so it gave the images more inclusivity, like, okay, it can be you, it can be me, you know. So yeah, that's how I decided to, like, okay, I think I need to, like, because before I'm just gonna like cross out the faces or you know, just pick like blurred images. Yeah, but yeah, the huge part of that is for it to be completely anonymous.
Yep. And so from what you described to me just earlier about the project, so are you still, first of all, you're still receiving messages or letters, is that correct?
Yeah, every day. I receive letters. Okay. Every day.
Okay, and then so obviously then that means this project continues on for now, correct? Are you still generating new images or new, I guess, new pieces?
I always tell people that the book is from the project, you know. the project is not the book, and
it's not the book. Yes, yeah. That's a good.
So, you know, the book is not like the end goal for the project, but I think it's the most important step that I made to expand the project, and, you know, to ideally try to find a way for the project to sustain itself, so it can, like, you know, continue to grow even beyond me, even after me. That's just really my dream, to, you know, that this project continues, you know, even after me. And I wrote in the project that, you know, the project will just stop when the last note is received. So, you know, so when there's still someone that sends a letter, then the project will continue.
So you did say earlier as well, you do not respond, so you just listen. And now, based on that, did you still interact with people who contacted you beyond people who are truly your friends, you know, or, you know, you really know personally? I mean, did you have any follow-up conversations with people, or really not? Or is it more like, you know, you let them send the letter, but you, as you said, you didn't reply specifically to the letter or what they wrote to you?
Yeah, because the project is like completely anonymous, you know. So I won't have any idea who wrote it. And, you know, it's also hard to claim that you wrote it, you know, because the it's completely anonymous. So, you know, I think just the best way to do is just share it, and, you know, because people will reply, like, you know, I'm not gonna be the one to reply, but when I post the images, like, people will reply, like, oh, to the person who sent the third letter, you know, like, and then they will reply, like, I've been through the same. And then you know, that's kind of the main thing that built the community, you know. Yeah, it's a really fascinating, it's really magical, like, seeing people who don't know each other just, you know, just talking to each other. Yeah.
No, it's great. And you know, I'm personally, I am on Instagram, but I really do not use it anymore. So, but I like, it's nice to hear that, you know, this is really a nice use of building community or some conversation, right, around very difficult topics. And I think the way you approach this with the anonymous approach, you know, is a very, I think, a very smart one, very, very sensitive one too, I think. So that's really great to hear. So I want to shift gears a little bit, Joy, and actually ask you, what other projects are you working on? I mean, that's a big project, obviously, for you, or has been. Are there any other projects that you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, I'm always, you know, I'm always taking pictures. I'm never taking pictures, but yeah, I won't say that it's like personal work, but you know, I take pictures of my life every day, and I always think about, okay, when in 80 years this will be a book. that's how I think, and but for now I'm doing, because you know, the project generated a lot of like people, you know, like for now I have like 700,000 people who follow the account. So I thought, you know, I know that Instagram won't be here like forever. So I'm trying to like meet as many as possible that I can meet from the people who follow my work, and take pictures of them, take portraits of them. And I think it will be like a 15-year project, long-term project. You know, I started in LA, then I'll be in New York this June. So I really try my best to like take pictures of them, you know, also to thank them personally, like for supporting my work, you know, also to get like stories from them. So yeah, I'm doing that. It's entitled "Nice to Meet You, My Friend." You know, so I'm thinking like in 20 years, you know, Instagram will be like a legend. Like, oh, what? In our days, we have this app that, you know, and it's also like a chronicle or like an archive of my, you know, story that I can show my daughter, like, you know, like, oh, he met all these people. And then, you know, he must be, oh, he really have like a job. You know, he had like a photography, you know. Yeah, but other than that, I do like assignments, you know. I do a lot of things, like I do weddings, I do anything that pays the bill, you know. I do like editorial works, and I always keep my personal projects with me. I think that's the soul of your photography, you know. Like, I think it will always be the soul of what you do. So I'm always an advocate of like doing personal work. So yeah.
Now that's great. And projects, and you know, that's a topic that I've talked a bit on the podcast. We talked a lot about projects. I think I completely agree with you. I think it's very important to do projects, whether they're short or long. I mean, I don't know that there is right or wrong, right? How you do it, but it's certainly a great habit to do something like that, and then follow that has a certain cohesion, a certain, you know, a certain theme around it. Speaking of themes, or you know, in your work, you mentioned that earlier on, portraiture is really central to your work, the human element, I guess, in your work. So I want to talk a little bit about your portraiture. Mm-hmm. Portraiture is seemingly simple, yet hard to create strong portraits. I think we've discussed that in the past on this podcast as well. But so I'm kind of just curious how you approach your portrait work, where, you know, whether it is personal or assigned work? If you can tell me a little bit about that.
Thank you for that question, because you know, because I've been doing the things you wanted to say but never did for quite a long time. So, and most of the time people won't even know that I'm a photographer too, you know. They'll be like, oh, you take pictures too? Okay, you know. And thank you for you know, talking about portraiture too, because yeah, that's my first love in photography, you know. But I always believe that, you know, a portrait is like a collaboration between you and your subject, you know. So it will always be, you know, you can't get a perfect or like a really nice portrait if you're just the one like making an effort to make it, you know. So professionally, I think the key is like do a lot of like research, you know, watch a lot of videos of your subject, if they're on like YouTube, or you know if you're taking pictures of politicians, research about them. And then most of the time you only just get like 3 to 5 minutes of their time, you know. So you should be like, really, okay, this is like his best angle, or you know. But most of my photos, they're just looking straight, you know. I'll just say, oh, look at the camera, look straight. But yeah, most of the time, if you are connected with them, like no research about their favorite band, or you know, most of the time it's always the things that you know, they're not the main topic of their work, you know. It's always like, oh man, you love the Beatles too, or you know, it usually gets the conversation going. Yeah, but so it's easy, you know, just make them comfortable. Then what I do is like 3 minutes or 5 minutes before the subject goes in the set, I'm gonna talk to the team like, okay, I only have like 5 minutes with the subject, so if we do all our jobs properly, then you know, we can get another one next time. So that's how I do, like doing like personal professional work. But personal work, you know, it's sometimes you also have like, I had like portraits that just took 5 minutes on the streets, you know. You know, when I see one guy, and then I'm just gonna ask him like, "What's the happiest day of your life?" And then he'll be, you know, marrying my wife. And then, okay, can I take your photo? Okay, then that's it. But sometimes it will take a lot of time. You know, I have this beautiful portrait of an old dancer in Berkeley, and then, but I've met her a lot of times. I've always wanted to take pictures of her, but I'm so like shy to ask for it. And then one time I just, you know, I think I already built a relationship between us. So I asked her like, can I take your picture? And then, you know, she's like, you know, I haven't been, my photos haven't been taken for a long time, for years. So, because she feels like she's not beautiful, but she said, you know, just fire away. Take the picture. And then, you know, that's one of my favorite portraits. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's always a collaboration. Like, you know, you give 50, you give 100, I give 100, then we can make a really good photo. Like, you know, if I give like 100% and you give just 0 or 10, you know, I don't think it will, like, I don't think the spirit will be in the photo.
Speaking of your images and portraits, I noticed that several of your images have a filmic look. Now, this is a little technical, but it looks like they're shot on film. Is that actually true? Are you doing film photography, or is that just not true?
I started the shooting film in the Philippines, but it became more like it became a staple when I got here, you know, because first in the Philippines, it's like super expensive to get films, you know, same in here, but, you know, you're most likely to get one here. But yeah, when I moved here, you know, before I shoot like every day in the Philippines. Then when I moved here, I only have one day a week, you know, to shoot. Then that's like, 48 days a year, or, you know, I'm not really good at math. But I think the shooting film like really fit my approach, you know. It's slow, it's, you know, you take your time, you take your there's a lot of decision making, you know. In medium format, you only have 12, you only have 10, so yeah, but it really fit my approach, and then that's why, yeah, until now I'm still using film. I have a lot of films, you know, I'm a hoarder.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, but for personal work, you know, usually they want digital, so I use it too.
So it sounds like, but you're still so film is still kind of your main medium, but you're obviously doing some digital work as well. For personal.
Film is my main, the main one. You know, if I can choose, then I shoot it in film.
Before we wrap up, I just have one more, hopefully simple question for you. And that's really, where can people best find you online? We obviously talked about Instagram and the website. If you can just tell us the Instagram handle and the website.
Oh, yeah. So my Instagram is Geloy Concepcion, GeloyConcepcion. And you're gonna find everything there. You know, but for the project, you just type things you wanted to say but never did, like on Google, you know, it will be there. And or you know, you just you know, if you need the project will reach you.
All right, this wraps up our episode with Geloy. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed learning about his long form project and learning more about him as well. I definitely encourage you to check out his work. We will link to his Instagram handle in the show notes, as well as to his website, and we'll also link to his book and book project. Thanks so much for listening, and talk to you next time. Boop.